What a treat to be here. Again, thank you for letting us join you and be just the privilege that we have to connect together like this. We drove up on Friday night, and you know, we live down in Camas on the Columbia River, and it's beautiful down there. We actually have the privilege, we have a place where we get to oversee the Columbia, and on the days that the sun is out, we see Mount Hood in all of its glory as well. So it's just spectacular. But when we come up here, there's just something amazing about this place, isn't it? It's just so beautiful, so beautiful. Well, let's see. What I want to share with you that this word that I'm going to share this morning is, I'm living through this right now. So it's being ministered at probably more so to me than anybody else. So it's fresh material. It's very fresh material. And so please know that I'm not, I hope you don't feel like preaching at you, but I'm preaching really to myself. And if you get something out of it, great, but I know it's really good for me. So I'm just really going to be blessed by this word, and I hope you can come along with me. Anyway, if you would please, let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Each of the Gospels has such a great perspective. I mean, it's so true, but just the perspective that each of the authors have of the Gospels is so incredible. And I so appreciate Luke's perspective on the life of Jesus. And we're going to read quite a bit through this chapter. But if you would just hang with me here. And I'm not gonna be in a hurry. Is that okay? I'm just not gonna be in a hurry. When it comes to the word, if I don't say anything else, but if we just read the word, that's enough, isn't it? Almost. I mean, it's just there's just so much there, and I trust the Lord to give you nuggets as we read it again. Each time we read the word, there's something new that can pop out, isn't there? So we can trust. Holy Spirit, we trust you that as we read again the words on the page that you give us, that you'll hit us right where we're at, and that we won't gloss over something when the Holy Spirit tugs at our heart when we read something. So here we go. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Now, it came to pass. There it is again, that phrase. It came to pass. It was a time that went by here from the previous words that Luke has written. It came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. Do you think if you'd been healed of 7 demons that you would want to go anywhere but where Jesus has gone? I mean, I don't think I'd want to go anywhere else. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, and others had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. Now let's get this. Let's just kind of... And when a great multitude had gathered, we don't know how big that is, but Luke wasn't given to great hyperbole. I think when a great crowd had gathered, I mean, a lot of people were there. And others had come to him from every city. Every city. So there's a lot of folks there. So what does Jesus do? He speaks for less than 2 minutes. Because he only speaks what the Father tells him to speak, doesn't he? Very obedient. So this is what Jesus speaks. He doesn't wax on and on like Brad. He just speaks less than 2 minutes. I mean, you can time this when I read it, and it's far less than 2 minutes, but who knows? We'll just pause for effect and, you know, some of these things. But 2 minutes or less. And here's what Jesus says. To a great crowd with no microphones, this is what he speaks. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured it. How dare the birds? Well, some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That's it. Have a nice day, everybody. We'll see you. I mean, what would you think if that's it? We're done. Less than 2 minutes. That's the word. Now go out and apply it. Because there was no amplification, there were no DVDs, there was nothing to record this other than Luke, who had the good mind to write this down, or let the Holy Spirit bring it back to him so he could write it down. But then when he spoke it, that was it. The great crowd. And then his disciples asked him in verse 9, saying, "What does this parable mean?" Now to the 12, they got follow-up. But to everybody else, the great crowd, nobody else got anything more that particular day. And Jesus says, "To you, it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it's given in parables, that seeing, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand." Now the parable is this, in verse 11. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in the time of temptation fall away. And the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be made known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We're going to focus on verse 14. And the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. I have been totally convicted that this is where I have lived a lot of my life. What are these thorns again? The Bible says that they're the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And we think that that's life. But that's not life. They're actually the thorns that choke out the real life that comes from God's word. But how much of my life have I spent in the cares, the pursuit of riches, the pursuit of the pleasures of life? In other words, it's pretty much everything I've spent most of my time thinking about. I'm living a thorn-filled existence, which isn't life at all. I really am such a wimp. I don't like to feel discomfort. I'm too hot. I'm too cold. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I have to wait. Rudeness from a server at a restaurant who's supposed to be serving me, an ache in my body. Not being able to find something because it's not where it's supposed to be, or at least where I put it the last time I think I used it. Or not having the right tool to fix something, or what should take 2 minutes takes 2 hours. Or pants that are too tight and they weren't too tight last month. Or there's more month than there is money. Thorns, thorns, everywhere thorns. Do you ever hear something, I mean really hear something, that's really good, really, really, really good, like Pastor Kev will speak on a Sunday morning, and say to yourself, I need to remember that, and I need to apply it to my life. That is really good. But then a short time later, it's gone, completely gone. It's probably because other cares came in and crowded it out. I hate that. But this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Cares. Cares are stuff that fills your day. We pride ourselves in being busy, don't we? Riches. We're either in the pursuit of accumulating or holding on to. We're focused on paying bills. The pleasures of life. We're planning a vacation or going on vacation or can't wait for the next vacation. The meaning of care is distractions. Distractions from the Word of God. That's a thorn. Another thorn is riches. And riches in the scripture, in this particular verse, means wealth, money, or possessions. How much time do you think about any of those? Guilty. I'm preaching to me this morning. If you get anything out of it, great. But I am really convicted here. Pleasures. Pleasures, the meaning of it is sensual delights or lusts. You may have to bleep this out of the CD this morning, but quite honestly, guys, we think about sex a lot. I mean, that's just, I don't know what the thing is, but we're kind of wired that way. And it'll hit us from left field or right field or, like I said, it's just me. But, I'm just saying. So it's the reality is that Jesus is after our heart. And he loves us enough to let us know that there are thorns that will choke the literal life right out of us and try to remove the Word of God from our lives. And it so requires repetition. And I mean, if anybody has ever had to deal with blackberry bushes, how often do they come back? Once you mow them down or take them out, how long does it take for them to start growing again? Tomorrow. That's exactly right. It's tomorrow. If not later today, you start to see, wait a second, I just mowed you down. Well, just a hypothetical question. What do you care about? What consumes your thought time? Most of your time is spent with your thoughts. Scary, isn't it? I mean, like right now, here I am speaking, and many of you may be having a hard time following because your thoughts are somewhere else. But we excuse it away as productivity through multitasking. I can do that. I can pay attention to you and you. I got Marty Feldman eyes. I can do this. This morning, we're focusing on what the Bible calls thorns, the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. True confessions. You know what I care about? I care about what other people think of me. You know Carly Simon's hit song, You're So Vain? I think she wrote that song with me in mind. And then she had the audacity to include the classic line, I bet you think this song is about you. I care about what I look like, and I care about what other people think I look like. I think about what could have been, what should have been, none of which I can change. But I still dwell on the past way, way, way too much. You know what kind of caring for the things of this life gets me? Absolutely nothing. Amen. It's a giant goose egg, a zip, a zero, a zilch. And then I wonder where the time went. And here I am in my 60s. And here we are talking about the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. And I realized I'm the chiefest of sinners in this area. The cares or worries of this life, the focus on riches, the focus on pleasures, have to do with our anxieties over material things or lack of feeling virile anymore, or I mean, food, clothing, houses, you name it. I mean, the very reason HGTV is so popular. Have you noticed that focusing on the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, they consume us. They age us. They motivate us until we get them, and then what? They own us. We don't own them. Because then we have to take our time maintaining them. Because we want to be good stewards of what God's given us, right? You know, when Patty and I were first married, 40 years ago next month, we had a 1970 red Volkswagen Bug to our name. And we were the happiest we could be. We had nothing. We were caretakers for the Bellevue Parks and Recreation Department of the Bellevue Highland Center. And we cleaned out the restrooms and the gymnasium that was underneath. And we had the little apartment above. And we were poor as church mice, and we were so happy. And then what happened? We started to focus on the cares, the riches, the pleasures of life. And we got our eyes off of Jesus. Jesus said, "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful." And after all, remember, you'll know them by their fruit or lack thereof. It's extraordinary what power there is in even the littlest things that can distract us from the Lord. The devil knows that if he can distract us with all the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, we will never be a threat to him or fulfill the call that is on each of our lives. Amen. We will never bear any fruit for the kingdom of God. We'll fall far below God's intended place for us. Oh, heaven forbid. God, let us never end up there. We can go to church, we can have families, we can give, we can have meaningful careers, we can do everything externally just like everybody else, except that true life is choked out of us. Where our treasure is, so our heart is. And when our treasure is not Christ, the thorns, the cares, the riches and pleasures of this life have choked out the ability for Him to live in us. And what happens when a tree bears no fruit?
Cut her down.
Yeah. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, talks about trees that bear no fruit. Luke chapter 21, so if you'll just jump over to 21. And starting in verse 34, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and," what does it say?
Cares
of this life. Well, wait a second. I mean, come on, I'm not a carouser. I'm not a drunk. Why did you put the cares of this life in there too? Now, what's that about? "And that day come on you unexpectedly. for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of God, the Son of Man. Psalm 39, verse 6 says, man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. It's a pretty vain pursuit, isn't it? Oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, not too long ago, there was a financial meltdown in our country, wasn't there? In fact, all around the world. And it was a real gut check time. You think it won't happen again in your lifetime? Where is our trust? Is it in Jesus and the Word of God, or is it in where I spend most of my time thinking, and that's in the cares, the pleasures, the riches? I love the sound of a baby, don't you? I'm just precious. Oh, love that sound. Lord, bring more babies. Bring more young families, Lord, that we can hear babies, poopy diapers, messes. Lord, bring it all. Bring it all. Thank you, Lord. Now, how is it that we can be thorn free? After all, that's our part. Good ground is our part. The sower sows the seed. But the ground, that's our responsibility, isn't it? So good ground has been carefully tilled, dug, clods of dirt have been broken up, it's been finely sifted, fertilizer has been added to it, it's been watered. It's able to fully receive the seed. It's been guarded so no one can steal the fruits it'll produce. There's effort involved in having good ground. It does not just happen. So what does thorn-free ground look like? Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 8. And in verse 15, here's what thorn-free ground looks like. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart. They keep it and they bear fruit with patience. A noble and good heart. One that chooses not to allow the cares, riches, and pleasures of life to take root. Number two, they keep it, they retain, they memorize, they seize hold of it, and they apply it. Number three, they bear fruit, they apply it, it shows. Doesn't have to call attention to itself. It just shows. And number four, with patience. And that word patience there is cheerful, hopeful, endurance, and patiently waiting. Is that what your life looks like? Behind closed doors, behind the walls of our home, often, I don't look like that. I focus on the cares. I focus on, you know, do we have enough to retire on? Do we have, you know, I focus on so many other things. I read the Word. I'm in the Word every day. I'm with Jesus every day. But where do I spend my thought time? That's what my ground looks like. And so, like I said, this is a challenge to me. And if it applies to you, I praise God for that. But I know that this Word is for me. So at the very least, if you could pray for me, I would appreciate it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, you can maybe look at that later, but let me give you what it says. It just says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Now, it doesn't say that He'll handle all your cares. It says, get rid of all your cares, because what God cares about is you. Wow. Well, Lord, I thought You'd take care of all my cares. Not if they're cares that bring thorns. That's just not something that God cares about, but He does care about you. Oswald Chambers wrote, take no thought. Don't take the pressure of forethought upon yourself. It's not only wrong to worry, it is infidelity. Because worrying means that we do not think that God can look after the practical details of our lives. It's never anything else that worries us. Have you ever noticed what Jesus said would choke the word He puts in? The devil? No. The cares of this world. It's the little worries always. I will not trust what I cannot see. That is where infidelity begins. The only cure for infidelity is obedience to the Spirit of God. That simple little term, let go and let God, really does apply, doesn't it? Wow. A.W. Tozier said, the man who has God for his treasure, listen, this just totally convicted me and put me on my knees and made me realize God transformed me from the inside out. The man who has God for his treasure has all things in one. Many ordinary treasures may be denied him. Or if he is allowed to have them, the enjoyment of them will be so tempered that they will never be necessary to his happiness. Or if he must let them go one after one, he will scarcely feel a sense of loss. For having the source of all things, he has in one all satisfaction, all pleasure, all delight. Whatever he may lose, he has actually lost nothing. For he now has it all in one. Amen. And he has it purely and legitimately. Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. Amen. 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 I have been faithful to say what I was supposed to say, and I will dutifully not say any more. Because I know what trouble I get in when I do that. So, does this make any sense this morning?
You bet.
Yeah.
you, Lord. This is not something that I think can be taken care of at the altar. This is something that requires a change of heart, yeah, and an examination of our own ground. And so I'm going to trust the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to work in you as He's working in me. So let's be standing together. And Pastor Kev, do you want to come forward? Take the mic. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, everyone. We were, you probably already know this, we were supposed to be out of town and our plans completely changed. But we had precious guests set up and our team set up to do it, and so we've just come here this morning to enjoy the Lord with you. And instead of that, the Lord decided to convict us all. No, I'm kidding. That is where our enjoyment is, in watching the Lord move. You know, I thought of a couple of things. Number one, he said, I won't say anymore. He's learned not to say anymore, because that's when it gets in trouble. I turned to Sherry. He said, you know, I have not learned that lesson yet. I want to share something with you, and there's a couple of things on my heart, but I really sincerely want to say, as far as I'm concerned, you had the privilege, we had the privilege, of hearing one of the best messages in the body of Christ this morning. Patty, would you come forward and join us for a moment? We're wanting, more than anything else, to allow the Spirit of God to move in our lives. And what happens in a message like this morning is, have you ever felt like your head is snapped back into position where we can see Jesus? And it is so easy. Come on over, hon. It's so easy. Sherry, would you come up, please? It's so easy for us to get distracted. You heard it, and you heard the honesty of his soul. And church, you know, he was delightful to continue to say things like, well, this is just for me, while I'm sitting there going, no, it's just for me. And everybody out there, no, it's just for me. And what we can do is, let's all raise our hands, shall we, and say, Lord, thank you that you've spoken to us all. Thank you, Lord, that each of us can stand here this morning and say, this word was just for me. Lord, because the four of us together several times yesterday took hands and prayed, and we're all going to do it here this morning, but we just said, Lord, everything we do, think, and be, we want it to be you. Jesus, our hearts are fixed. Our hearts are fixed. We'll sing and give praise. And your call to us this morning is to allow you to fully be first love of our lives. Can you say it with me? Lord Jesus, I choose you as my first love, as Lord of all. We repent of every distraction. Let's personalize it more. I repent of every distraction, every care, every giving of myself to that which turns me aside. Wash us clean by the blood of Jesus. And as we go from this place this morning, open our eyes to continue to see you. Open our ears to hear your voice. And keep our hearts tender to always be good ground. We're just in love with you, Jesus. We love you so much, Jesus. We love you so much. Just tell him right where you are how much you love him. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you so much. And you're everything to us, Lord Jesus. And We thank you for the privilege we've had this morning as a congregation to be able to come and bask in your presence and be in your word and be able to get together. We're two or more gathered. There you are. Lord, we know you're here this morning, and our hearts are just so fixed on you. As we go from this place, Lord, we do so with thanksgiving, and we pray your blessing on each person who's come here. Extend your hands to Brad and Patty. Would you, Lord, we lift up Brad and Patty to you, and we pray, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, that you will continue to guide their every step. Because we know, Lord Jesus, that they're in transition. We know that. Life and career and caring for family, Lord, you're getting ready to birth new days upon them. And as a congregation, we say, blessed are they who come in the name of the Lord. Can you say that with me? Blessed are they who come in the name of the Lord. We dedicate them to you and ask you, Lord Jesus, to continue to reveal next steps. Every next step, the steps of a good man and woman are ordered of the Lord. We bless him, Jesus. And we pray that as they drive away from Port Ludlow today, they will drive away with their hearts full to overflowing, knowing they've been so obedient to you. And we say, well done, thou good and faithful servants of the Lord. Let them hear that from you. Thank you for this day together, Lord, in Jesus' name.